This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Following Monday's market slump, we'll take a look at the Chinese property developer Evergrande and its possible role. Plus, the cost of shipping is going up.
You have labor shortages, you have shortages of some materials due to supply chain issues, and you have rising fuel costs.
And how TV is becoming a workday wind down. It's Tuesday, September 21st. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his Liberal Party are on course to secure a third straight election victory.
You are sending us back to work with a clear mandate to get Canada through this pandemic and to the brighter days ahead. And my friends, that's exactly what we are ready to do.
Projections show the Liberal Party is set to win enough seats in Parliament to form a minority government. Trudeau's bet that a snap vote would help him secure a majority government failed to materialize. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. General Motors says it will start next month to fix Chevrolet Bolt electric cars that were recalled for fire risk. It's going to start shipping new battery cells to dealerships as early as mid-October to begin replacing potentially faulty battery modules. The automaker has estimated the recall campaign will cost about $1.8 billion, making it one of the company's costliest safety actions in history. GM said Monday it was aware of 13 fires linked to what it has described as a defect in some battery cells. The Bolt is GM's only electric model sold in the U.S. The number of known COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. has surpassed the country's fatalities from the flu pandemic, dating back to 1918. According to data from Johns Hopkins University, on Monday, the U.S. crossed the threshold of 675,000 reported COVID-19 deaths. The U.S. is currently tallying nearly 2,000 COVID-19 deaths a day, and that figure has been rising in some parts of the country. The upcoming climate summit in Glasgow faces a high risk of failure, according to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. In a meeting with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, US climate envoy John Kerry, and other key officials, Guterres warned the COP26 summit could fail unless leading countries collectively changed course and took stronger measures on greenhouse gas emissions. Guterres was speaking on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly meeting taking place this week in New York. President Biden is also scheduled to speak today. We'll have ongoing coverage on the Journal app. The price of online shopping is expected to become more expensive as shipping costs are rising at the fastest pace in nearly a decade. And that's adding pressure on retailers to pass the costs on to consumers. Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff joins me from London to tell us just how much more we'll be paying and why. Hi, Caitlin. Good morning.
Morning, Mark.
Caitlin, FedEx said its rates are going up next year. We're expecting an announcement from UPS. What are the factors behind the rise in cost?
Yeah, so we've seen prices pretty much across everything edging up lately. This is a bit of another manifestation of that. Shipping costs globally particularly are rising because you have labor shortages, you have shortages of some materials due to supply chain issues, and you have rising fuel costs. And so that's all kind of pushing together to lend to these price rises for shippers. And you also have, you know, UPS and FedEx have had a lot of demand during the pandemic in which we've relied more on e-commerce. And so they probably have a bit more pricing power as well than they have in previous years.
So Caitlin, as far as the price hikes are concerned, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so for FedEx, across most services, you're going to see a 5.9% average increase in shipping rates starting at the beginning of next year. in previous years, it was 4.9%. We're still waiting to hear what UPS is, but in the past, FedEx and UPS have basically had the same annual increases, so it'll probably look very similar.
Caitlin Ostroff in London. Caitlin, have a good day.
Thanks so much.
Just ahead, you may have heard a lot lately about the Chinese company Evergrande and its possible role in the market decline. We'll take a closer look at the company after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Markets in Asia saw some gains after Monday's rough start on Wall Street. Yesterday's sell-off sent the S&P 500 to its worst day since May. At one point, the Dow was down as much as 972 points at the low of the session before it pared some losses. Among the possible sources of the decline, worries about spreading troubles from China's property market and growing concerns over property developer China Evergrande Group. We want to take a closer look at Evergrande and why what's happening in Asia is rippling around the world. My colleague Quinton Webb is a markets editor based in Hong Kong and knows this story very well. We're glad to have him on the podcast. Quinton, welcome as always.
Hi there, Mark.
Quinton, since some investors are learning about Evergrande for the first time, can you tell us what this company does?
Sure. So it's one of China's biggest real estate developers. It builds apartment complexes across China, and it has fueled that growth over the last two decades or so by borrowing a lot. So it has a very big balance sheet with liabilities roughly of the order of $300 billion. So it's a very, very big, very indebted company. And the last few months, as China has sort of restricted the supply of credit to developers in an attempt to kind of calm the property market down, Evergrande has come closer and closer to the point of financial collapse, effectively. You know, it's now quite close to the point where potentially later this week it might not make some interest payments which are due on its international bonds.
And is that why the company is getting so much attention lately?
Well, that's right. And also because, you know, first of all, China is so important to the world economy. Second of all, property is so important to China. And a third point, which we've discussed a lot on this show, is in other areas too, the Chinese government has become more heavy-handed in terms of regulation. You know, we've seen this a lot in technology, for example, but in property now too, it seems as if, you know, the government is willing to kind of take some quite hard decisions to pursue its policy objectives. So those things together, and also just the sense of, if you have a company of the size and complexity of Evergrande, which is near the point of collapse, you know, it's quite hard to game out all of the implications of that ahead of time.
And what is Beijing's approach toward Evergrande in particular with its financial woes?
Well, thus far, we haven't seen Beijing step in to prevent a default or, you know, even if there was a default, to kind of limit the broader fallout. It doesn't help that it's actually a public holiday today and yesterday in China. I think general consensus is that there would be some measures taken to limit the impact on homeowners, for example, people who have bought houses that haven't been completed yet. But whether that largesse would extend as far as international investors who hold the company's offshore bonds, you know, that's a very different question.
Well, let's talk about the international reaction. Why is it, Quinton, that markets in the U.S. reacted the way they did to something that's happening on the other side of the world?
Well, I think it's for some of the reasons that we have just discussed. You know, it's to do with the size and complexity of Evergrande and, you know, concerns about whether that might have a material knock-on impact on the Chinese economy or the Chinese financial system, plus a dose of sort of just general uncertainty. We're not quite sure how all the chips will fall here and what the final implications will be.
And Quentin, as we begin a new trading day in the United States, are there other factors that could influence traders today besides Evergrande?
Well, I would think so. I mean, you know, there's always a myriad of different factors influencing the markets. And one positive signal that I would point to at the moment is that actually in, you know, Asian trading hours, US futures are up. So it looks as if maybe the judgment of the market at this point is that some of yesterday's action was overdone and, you know, the market might be due a bit of a bounce later on.
Quentin Webb bringing some clarity to a very complex story. Quentin, appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
And finally, before the pandemic, many of us dreaded the daily commute, but it served as a buffer between work and life. Now, for some, turning on the TV is the only way to signal it's time to relax and truly switch off from work. Here's the WSJ's Clint Carter with more.
So one of the people that I spoke with for this story is a woman who used to walk about 20 minutes to her work in Denver. It was relaxing for her. It helped her stop thinking about work at the end of the day. And now she basically works until her husband comes home, he makes dinner, and then she can't really stop working until she turns on the TV. And she's watching Survivor, which she says is admittedly trashy TV, but it is de-stressing for her and it allows her to stop thinking about work.
And that's what's news for Tuesday. We'll be back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Take care, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.